Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield, and this is Drop Dead Serious. Let me just tell you, there are cases that are disturbing, and there are cases that are horrifying, and then there are cases like this one out of Tennessee that'll stop you in your tracks and make you wonder what kind of monsters are walking around pretending to be people. I'm about to tell you about a man named Sean Williams. Although calling him a man is charitable. I honestly don't even know how to ease you into this story because there's honestly really no way to ease into this. So I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off. Police in Tennessee say this man carried out one of the most brutal, sadistic, and stomach-turning crimes they've ever seen. We're talking about scenes so violent and deranged that seasoned detectives reportedly needed a moment to collect themselves. Exactly 1 year ago, you may remember breathing a sigh of relief. Maybe you heard the collective sigh being breathed across America. Because I'm recording this on November 14th, and 1 year ago today, you know, this is the anniversary that a Tennessee jury told Sean Williams he was likely never going to see the effing light of day again. Williams was convicted of drugging several women unconscious and then raping them and their kids on video. And here's where you're going to need a drink. This case may have stood out to you because of the ages of the kids. 7 years old. 4 years old. And 9 months old. Yeah. So maybe not surprising that Sean Williams got 95 years for his crimes. And if you're like me and you think that is still not enough, take heart, because he still has 50 more cases, 50 plus more cases. Those are awaiting him still, right? Where he's accused of doing the exact same thing and once again filming it. But believe it or not, Sean Williams, while in jail, escaped. He literally busted his way out of a police van that was taking him to court. I'm going to explain how this happened, especially since there were two officers in the van who apparently didn't even notice that he was gone until they got to the courthouse. And make no mistake, Sean Williams was only one of two prisoners being transported. So how does he bust out a window and get out the back of the van without two officers in the van noticing until they get to the courthouse? Sean Williams, how do men like this walk among us?
Johnson City, Tennessee. Population 72,000. It is a little slice of heaven that sits just west of the Blue Ridge Mountains in Appalachia. It is known for its endless trails, its stunning views, and bustling nightlife. The bars stay busy until real, real late, and for years, people in search of after parties looked no further than the fifth floor apartment of a Johnson City business owner named Sean Williams. Friends and friends of friends and friends that Williams didn't even know always seemed to be welcome, especially if they were female. And especially if they were pretty. But the good times ended on a warm September night in 2020 when a woman named Michaela Evans fell from a window in Sean Williams' apartment, five stories up.
Last thing I remember was being in the garage and swinging on his swing and him putting his hands like this and pushing me in a circle three times. And I woke up in the hospital.
Miraculously, Michaela Evans survived, but barely. And when police investigated her fall, they found something in Williams' party house that at first seemed unrelated. It was a handwritten list with more than 20 names on it, and alongside those names was the word raped. Police also found ammunition that Williams, who had a felony conviction, was not supposed to have. And that is the point where the feds got involved. One of those feds was a prosecutor named Kateri Dahl.
In the transcript of a recording Dahl had made during a meeting with then Johnson City Police Chief Carl Turner and Captain Kevin Peters, she told them, "I think this guy is a clear and present danger to the, like, honestly, I think he's an ongoing danger to the community." She said getting a warrant is kind of 50-50 at this point. According to the transcript, Turner acknowledged Dahl's concerns, saying, "If, in fact, he has drugged women and taken advantage of them, that's probably going to be what he does in the future."
But before Johnson City Police could manage to arrest Sean Williams, Sean Williams vanished. And he stayed vanished for almost 2.5 years. Eventually, though, as fugitives often do, Sean Williams turned up. He was asleep in his car at Western Carolina University. And strangely enough, he was parked at a boat launch. And what police found in that car was enough to put him away even if he hadn't been a fugitive. There was cocaine and meth and phones and laptops. And amidst all of those electronic devices were some very disturbing files. Image after image of clearly unconscious women in various states of undress being sexually assaulted. But even that wasn't the worst of it. There were also thousands of images of children. Children being sexually abused. A new raft of federal charges followed, and the slow wheels of justice began to turn once again. But so did the wheels in Sean Williams' head.
Authorities saw him exit the van.
We, as far as I know, they were unaware that he had made his way out of the van at the time that he did escape.
On October 18th, 2023, somewhere between a county jail in Kentucky and the federal courthouse in Greenville, Tennessee, Williams managed to kick out the back window of the transport van and disappear.
They were properly handcuffed and shackled when they arrive and when they go out. So he would have had those, and we understand that he has somehow gotten out of those.
He wasn't one who was much for being locked up. Yet another manhunt was on, but this time the whole country was watching, including the manager of a 7-Eleven store in Florida. 34 days after Sean Williams had kicked out that window in the jail van, he wandered into that 7-Eleven looking more than just a little beraggled. The manager was pretty sure right away that that was the guy she'd seen on the news. And so she took a second look, and then she took a third look and decided to call the police.
I saw a photo of him earlier in the day from a deputy, but it was blurry. So when he walks in, I asked my coworker, I was like, "Is that him?" And he was like, "I don't think so." And I was like, "I don't know." Like, I just felt weird about it. So then I was scrolling through Facebook and a photo of him popped up, a better one, and his tattoo on his arm. And I recognized the tattoo. So that's when I called police and told them, I was like, "He was in my store."
It took a couple of cops and a fearless canine officer to corner Sean Williams and grab him by the collar, which by this point was dirty enough to show how life on the run had not been easy. In separate trials in 2024, Sean Williams was convicted of escaping the jail van and of production of child pornography. And when the feds pushed for a sentence of 95 years, the judge agreed. Another state trial is also pending in Tennessee, sometime after the federal trial in North Carolina. And at some point after that, the state of Tennessee is expected to charge Sean Williams with the 52 adult rapes that they say are well documented on his devices. Those assaults date back to at least 2019, raising the question, did no alleged victim ever go to the police before Michaela Evans fell from that fifth-story window back in 2020? We now know the answer is almost certainly yes. More than 300 alleged sex crime victims say they filed reports with Johnson City Police between 2018 and 2022. But that police did little or nothing to investigate. That stunning revelation came in a $28 million settlement of a federal class action lawsuit. A lawsuit launched by nine women, all going by the name Jane Doe. Each of them said she was raped by Sean Williams, but then ignored by the Johnson City Police. Michaela Evans also sued the Johnson City PD on her own, and that suit is still pending. And Katari Dahl, remember her? The federal agent who was front and center when the feds launched their probe into Sean Williams? The federal agent who prompted Sean Williams' first disappearing act? Yeah, she's suing too. She says the Johnson City Police dragged their feet when it came to the ammo that was found in Sean Williams' car. She also claims the cops wouldn't even search the computers that they seized from Williams. You know, the computers they found at the same time they discovered the rape list and all the contraband in Williams' apartment? And here's a really weird twist. Sean Williams agrees with those who say his hometown cops are corrupt. But he says they didn't shield him. He says they framed him. And even now, Johnson City Police are denying it all. Even after that jaw-dropping $28 million settlement paid out to Williams rape victims, which is incidentally the biggest settlement in Johnson City history.
So Sean Williams is cooling his heels in a cell, okay? He's moved to a prison now. He's not in a jail. He's not in a transport van. But make no mistake, he's probably going to get into a transport van at some point, because those 50 cases that still await him, you know, where he did all that and videotaped it, allegedly, he's going to have to face those and be transported back and forth from the prison. So you can bet that given his history, they're going to have to do something like Hannibal Lecter-like, right, to keep this guy actually in cuffs, actually in custody. I don't know if they're going to have to surround him by a phalanx of officers, but they can't just do what they did before, because this is one slippery weasel. Dirtbag among dirtbags. So we're going to watch, because I still feel 95 years isn't enough. I know, it's life. I get it. But there's just something about everybody else who fell victim to this man getting justice. So we'll watch and we'll let you know when those next cases just might hit. That's going to do it for this episode, y'all. I'm Ashley Banfield. Thank you so much for listening and watching. And remember, the truth isn't just serious, it's drop dead serious.